This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
8:48 right now, Joyce, Chuang and Mel here bringing you the top business headlines of the day. Now, the cover story for this, the latest issue of the Edge Weekly this week has Saving Felder on its crosshairs. So the government, the Pakatan Harapan government, is expected to present a Felder white paper on December 10th, which is expected to contain proposals to restore proper financial management and governance to Felder. So according to The Edge, they spoke to sources and at least three proposals have been floated for the revival of Felder. So the first proposal is to beef up Felder's management. The second proposal will be to privatize FGV Holdings. And the third proposal is perhaps looking at merging Felder with Felcra.
Okay, so let's take a look at the first proposal, beefing up Felder's management. So this is on, they're going to look at sustainability, also look at strengthening management at all operative levels of the agency, as well as to reduce internal costs via improvements in efficiency. Basically, a lot of PR spin.
Sounds like a lot of PR, isn't it?
Yeah.
The second proposal is, I guess, the most market conducive. It involves the privatization of FGV Holdings. Now, of course, FGV is currently trading about 1 ringgit and 20 cents. Among the lowest it's been in its history. I think the lowest
120.
Was 120. It was, I think, 118 in 2015.
Well, compare that to its IPO price, 4 ringgit 55 cents, I think, in 2012. Now, that, you know, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, so they raised over 6 billion ringgit in the listing the same year that Facebook went public. And in fact that our Felder Global Ventures listing put us on the global league tables of biggest deals done. But that 6 billion ringgit has been allegedly frivolated away on a lot of acquisitions that didn't really add value and that ended up in terms of lining other people's pockets, and which is a bit of a tragedy because Felder, when you look at it, was set up in the mid-1950s to alleviate poverty among the rural.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And now what's happened, right? It's been grossly distorted. It's a shadow of his former self.
Actually, some people have questioned as well when it comes to the listing, right? How has that benefited Felder? Because prior to FGV's listing, it was paying Felder yearly dividends of between 100 million to 150 million ringgit. In 2017, Felder only received 61.4 million ringgit. Yeah. In terms of dividends.
Okay, so right now, if one of the proposals in this white paper is said to be the privatization of FGV, how will privatizing FGV benefit the revival of Felder?
Yeah, so when you privatize a company, first of all, there's the financial cost of it. And because it's right now trading at 1 ringgit 20 cents, it's relatively cheap. In fact, it's very, very cheap for Felder and the shareholders to countenance paying that privatization price. Of course, it depends what kind of price it's going to be and whether there's going to be a premium. The flip side of that, of course, is the minority shareholders, because right now, you know, CPO prices are so low, 1,800 ringgit per metric ton, give or take. It would be a gross disjustice to the minorities who do own Felder Global Venture shares and who will be out of pocket financially speaking from such an exercise. But if you have the right management in place, you can kind of like be quite pivotal and quite fast in your decision making.
Right, so
because you
execution
don't have to get,
is key
execution
here. Right.
Is key.
So you have control, you're able to make these kind of financial decisions.
Without the approval, because you have got, you know, otherwise if you're a public company, you've got to get the approval of a lot of shareholders, right?
But it's contingent on the fact that you're making
the
smart
right
financial decisions with, you know,
not
good
just
corporate
smart,
governance.
Just the right decisions for the good of your people.
Mm. But it also removes the element of transparency, right?
Yeah,
the idea of FGV being a listed company brings an element of transparency and corporate
That's
governance
right.
when you're a listed company.
So it's basically Felder. And will Felder do the right thing by FGV? The thing is, with Felder, you don't know what's happening behind the closed doors. This is the same company that paid 95% premium to buy 37% of Eagle High Plantations from Peter Sondag 2 years ago.
Actually, speaking
right?
about this,
right?
Yeah.
And that this particular white paper does not address the white elephant in the room, which is the fact that, you know, Felder
the
owns
white elephant in the room,
the big, the big hairy woolly mammoth that is Eagle
That's
High.
Right.
You know, you have a management team in place that basically paid a 95% premium to buy a 37% stake in an Eagle High Plantation business, which, in fact, its own assets are quite chonky. I mean, in terms of, from a quality perspective, from a guy that is a known associate of Najib, Mm. I mean,
so just to clarify, according to sources who spoke to The Edge, apparently as part of this white paper, there's not that much detail as to the PT, the Eagle High stake, right?
And so, what you can do with it.
Yeah, so I mean, that I think is the bigger overwhelming issue when it comes to restructuring Felda or the revival of Felda. What is going to happen with this stake? The stake already garnered so much controversy when it was going through, but what we don't know at this point in time is how this is going to pan out for Felda.
Yeah, but what the article says is, according to your sources, that the white paper indicates that the acquisition is being investigated for misappropriation. That's to just that. Other than that, what are they looking into, and why did they pay? Why did Felda pay such a high price and all that? That's not really revealed yet.
I mean, remember that back in the day, right, when news broke that FGV was considering this proposal, it was actually a bursar announcement,
mm-hmm.
and it involved paying something like a 30% or 40% cash deposit for something which you paid a premium for. It was unthinkable. It was completely unthinkable, right? And now it kind of emerges that the minorities at the time, I think the big institutional shareholders said, there's no way we should be buying this deal. It was thrown back into FGV's hands.
Into Felda's hands.
Yeah. And what
so,
did Felda
so
do?
FGV said no.
FGV said
thrown
no.
Thrown it to Felda.
And what did Felda do? They bought it themselves.
Mm, right. But there was also the put and call option, right? So if they don't, Eagle High doesn't get RSPO certification by, is it 2019?
Something like that.
Then Peter Sundhage will buy it back, right?
Yeah.
But at 6% interest a year.
That's right. Mm. So many eyebrows are raised right into their hairlines asking whether this was in fact a loan.
Yeah,
and I think it's a valid question to ask.
Yeah, because at 6% rate, compare that to Indonesian banks, they're charging 10%.
Yeah, mm. And this is a deal that was done by the same guy that sent a private jet to ferry the
allegedly
couple out of the country when G14's results were announced.
Okay, so come December 10th, if we're not, I think we're going to keep a close eye on this white paper, and I think that there will be serious questions raised if Eagle High isn't discussed in more detail than what is alluded to, according to sources from The Edge. All right, let's turn our attention from plantations to retail. Now looking at Mammoth Empire Holdings, which is the developer of Empire City Damansara, they have started on some measures to raise about 800 million ringgit. So some of these measures include selling some land that was meant for Empire City Damansara 2 in PJ. So apparently the land, this is also quoted by The Edge, land had been divided and sold to two parties.
Yeah, so they sold about 45 acres to a JV between Exim Development and Binastra Construction worth about 460 million to 530 million ringgit. And the remaining 20 acres to Asset Kayamas Group, who paid about 236 million ringgit for the plot. Also, the company is looking to... They recently sold a building in KL's Chinatown where it planned to build a hotel called Wolo Chinatown. They sold that to a Hong Kong firm for 48 million ringgit. So it looks like they're on a selling spree.
Okay, so they sold this Empire City Damansara 2, then they sold the Wolo Chinatown, and then they... Remember last year, they sold the Empire Shopping Gallery?
In Subang.
In Subang, that's right. They sold it, if I'm not mistaken, is it to Pelabur and Hartana?
Yeah, Pelabur and Hartana, that's right. 500 million ringgit.
And also, they they're looking at, I think they sold a little bit more of space to Kuskapi, I think, for Empire City 1.
Yeah, so this company actually started back in 2002 when they had a contract to build 22 lorry depots. And today, of course, just 16 years later, they got stuff in retail, they got property, they got F&B, they got hospitality. But clearly, the property slump has really put them in bad times. And they've been having a couple of little PR stirs in the last few years. Remember back in 2016, there was a low level of activity at the Empire City Damansara 1.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several issues over the handover of vacant possession. Remember that, to buyers of residential units? And, even though there was delays, I think they were making buyers liable for monthly maintenance fees when the development was not even completed and having yet to receive the CCC Certificate of Completion and Compliance. So it's quite tough. I mean, I think this is basically an issue of overbuilding and I think choppy cash flow, which is an ongoing malaise of property developers everywhere. But I think if you build too fast and you grow too quick, this can happen. And I guess that's explaining the selling spree that's going on right now.
Yeah, so if I could just clarify very quickly again about the Empire City Damansara 1. Right now, I think to date, several components, including the portions of Empire City Mall, have yet to be completed. And this is after several delays from the targeted 2015 completion date. Right now, I think only the apartments and most of the office spaces are fully delivered. All right, we're going to be bringing you the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia coming up in the 9 o'clock news bulletin, brought to you by Sabrina Magdalene. Just a couple minutes, BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.